Everybody may be seated.
Just you play when we start.
But you know, back in the Mosaic Law, there were rules and regulations for everything. You could think of it, there was a rule and regulation for it. They had so many rules, and they created more on top of what God had given them. They had rules that they had to create rules to get around, because that's the only thing they knew. But you see, when Jesus came, and he's sitting there on the Passover, celebrating the Passover with his disciples, he said, I have looked forward to celebrating this with you. Now, we all know what took place that night. He would later be betrayed by one of his closest confidants. As a matter of fact, the man would betray him with a kiss, a sign of brotherly love. You didn't just get in close to anybody to kiss them. But he said, I have looked forward to this for so much. And I don't think it all goes just beyond because of what he was about to do, but because he's like, I'm going to introduce you to something new. You've lived with the old covenant before, that a lamb had to be slain. But I'm about to do something new tonight that will eliminate that, and you will never have to sacrifice another lamb. The Bible says, Paul says in the New Testament, he said that many people do not partake and do not understand the Lord's Supper. And he said, and for this reason, many of them have died. Now, folks, I want you to understand something. I don't think it's because there's a magical thing that happens just because you don't serve God, but yet you take communion. I don't think there's something there that God's waiting to say, oh, you're unworthy. You've got sin in your life. Hello, that's every last one of us. I think what Paul was trying to get through to the people was they don't understand the benefits of the covenant. It's kind of like standing outside the door to your house. You've got the key, and you're in a blizzard. And all you had to do was put the key in the lock and open the door, and all the benefits of that warm house were yours. See, we don't take that into consideration. Jesus said, this is my blood that is poured out for the new covenant. Your sins, folks, that's what he's talking about. He said, all of your sins, all of mankind's sins will be forgiven. You just have to ask and receive it. He said, this is my body that is broken. We know that Jesus' body, he was beaten 39 times. Then in Isaiah 53:5, it says that by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. So he took all of that upon himself, that we could stand not only and have our spiritual bodies renewed, but our physical as well. Because of the benefits of a new covenant that we believe. And I believe that's why Paul said that many sleep, because they just didn't understand. They didn't go to hell. They didn't understand. They had the key, but didn't use it. Seems ridiculous, doesn't it? We'd say, well, that's a stupid person to have the key and not ever use it. How often do we do that? We do it regularly. We forget. We live with the guilt and condemnation of what we've done before, forgetting that Jesus Christ paid that once and for all. We keep letting our past come back up in our face, whether it's through memories or through other people. And if you're doing that, stop it. Because Jesus has forgiven it. Now, if you're continuing to do it, stop it. Because that's what He did. He gave His body so that you could overcome this. Not so that you could be trapped forever. See, sin separated man from God. And what Jesus did was said, I'm going to pay the price so that we can reconnect. See, God had to turn His face away from Jesus. On that cross, as He hung there, they said the sky turned black. This was all over the world, folks. This wasn't just in Jerusalem. It's because God Himself had to turn away. Everything that we see and have gets its power from God. The stars. Have you ever wondered, how do stars keep burning? I do. I understand gas. It burns up, and if there's not anything there to keep bringing it about, it's gone forever. God Himself, the power, everything, He turned away because Jesus took every sin that the disciples would commit, that Paul would commit. That every believer, every person from that moment on and before, He took them upon Himself. And God could not look upon it because He is holy. So when God looks down at you now, He sees the blood of His Son. And He is reminded, the sin is forgiven. But we're the ones that have the problem getting past it. We don't receive into our lives the forgiveness that is Him. So we live constantly thinking about what could have been. How much better life could be if we could only be perfect. You will never be perfect. Never. So just scratch that. But you can be redeemed. Because you are redeemed. You have the key. You don't have to live in torture anymore to what happened in the past. You're forgiven. Anything you may commit tomorrow, it's already forgiven. You have to receive it. People who are genuine when they receive Christ into their life tell of a freeing. The best way I can describe this, and my mom always used to swear up and down to it, and you may too, because I have actually seen this in my own children. There comes a point they need a spanking. Mom said, you need a spanking. I'm like, why? You'll feel better. No, I won't. But the truth of the matter is, yes, I did. Needed all of that washed away. Great thing is, we don't have to get spanked. The forgiveness is there. We just have to go to God. God, I love You and I receive Your forgiveness. I know You forgive me. I still say, God, forgive me. It's just my way of saying, I receive what You've done for me. Okay? He's already done it. Bible says once and for all. You can't keep crucifying Jesus every day. That's the new covenant. And He said, however, you have no part in Me if you do not drink My blood and eat My flesh. Can you imagine thinking in your fleshly, your earthly mind when He said that? Because He said that to over 70 disciples, and all but 12 walked away. By the way, His earthly family walked away, knowing that He was the Son of God. They walked away. They're like, this is weird. He was not talking, he was talking about if you do not partake of it, if you do not receive in yourself the forgiveness, you have no part in me. Because guess what? You will never forgive anybody else either. And you try to become like God. The very thing that got us in trouble to begin with. Trying to be like God. We love that though, don't we? We love lording unforgiveness. You did this to me. And we remind people. We may say we forgive them, but sometimes our actions towards them reminds them, I'm not forgiven. You know, it's just our nature. If you have eaten something and you suddenly got sick while eating that, or that made you sick, something you love. I was actually starting to grow used. I've never been a cold fried chicken eater. You know, my roots are Southern, and we usually ate it dripping right out of the pan. Okay? So I never was much of a cold fried chicken eater. But I started getting used to eating some fried chicken cold, and I started liking it. Then something happened one day. I got salmonella from it. It was not fun. I have yet to eat cold fried chicken. That's what a sin against us does. We remember it. Even though it was that one piece, all the fried chicken from that point on has not been infested with salmonella. I know why that chicken got infected. But yet, I still have a hard time getting it. It's been years since I've been able to. I've actually started eating tater tots in the last, I don't know how many years. Because when that stuff kicked in, that's what I was eating. And it did it to me. So I've always, like, but I used to love that. So it's just like somebody who has harmed you. You love them. But because they harmed you, you're still holding them here. And when God came down and he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send Jesus. He said, I'm offering you forgiveness. Now, not only am I forgiving you, but I want you to understand what I'm doing for you. I'm going to make you my children. Are you following that? See, I can love you, but there's something different with my own children. Right? You can love other people, but when it comes to your own children, there's something different. It doesn't matter if you are outnumbered, you will fight for your children, right? It doesn't matter if you're the small dog in a big dog fight. You will fight for your children. And that's God. Except he is the big dog. He said, now you're my children. I'm going to take the time to graft you into the vine and make you mine. But how often do we not understand what he did? And we just keep going around and around and around, struggling and fighting because we just don't get it. We take of communion and we just don't get it. His covenant, folks, covered everything in your life. Your finances. Your health, your children, your sin, all of it. That's a covenant. Covenant covers an entire thing, not just one area. It's your life. Why? Because God proved it time and time and time again in his word. Read it. See what he did. See what he did for his children. Even though they were wrong sometimes, he stood up for them and made them right. He leads them out into the middle of the desert, leads them to a seed where they can't get around. Intentionally, he changes the alteration of the tides of that sea. He splits the thing. Do you know what that took? Joshua needs time to fight this battle. God says, all right, I will stop time and space just so you can win this battle. Do you understand what it takes to stop the sun from going down? We think, oh, we just stopped the sun in its place. No, there are planets. We are now. We understand we're a solar system. That makes what God did then so much greater. And if he'd do it for then him, why won't he do it for you? Because now you have a better covenant. So much greater than the old. And that is what we partake of today. The better covenant. We don't have to bring pigeons and turtle doves and sheep to church with us and stand here all day while I slaughter them. Because they had a regime they had to follow with that. It was a long affair. So God wants you to know it's as simple as saying, yes, I believe and I receive what you did for me. I receive into my body the healing, not only physically, folks, but mentally, emotionally. That's where sin gets us. Sin doesn't always affect us physically, but it does mentally. It does emotionally, especially when somebody else has done it. We have to receive it into our lives. So this morning, as we partake of this, I want you to receive what God has done for you. If you need a healing in your body, stand believing and knowing that he said you were healed. If you've been feeling the pressure of sin weighing down on you, stand believing, knowing you are forgiven. But I will caution you and remind you that even Jesus told people, go and sin no more. So this morning, I'll ask you all to stand. If the ushers will... Katie's going to play the keyboard. And as she does, and as they bring forth the sacraments, I want you to be thinking about this. Say, God, where in my life am I not partaking of this covenant completely? I'm not receiving everything that you made for me. Evaluate your own heart. Don't be looking across the aisle. Don't be thinking about somebody else. That's none of your business. We'd be so much better served if we just keep our nose in our own business and let God deal with those who need to be dealt with and let those who are in authority do what they have to do. So, if I could get you to start from this side, just file up and go back down to center aisle and when Jesus, after he told his disciples with fervency, I have desired to do this with you, he handed them the bread and he said, now take this amongst yourselves and eat of it. He said, for this is my body broken for you. Everything you deserved, he took. That is what we remember when we partake of this. Let's eat. Then he took the wine and he said, this is my blood that will be poured out. It'll be poured out for the ratification of a new covenant. The old is done. Behold the new. Go and live free. Let's partake. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for the precious body of Jesus Christ. Lord, that his blood was poured out and his body was broken for us. Lord, we receive now what he has done. We receive the forgiveness. We receive the healing, the restoration, Father, of what the devil has stolen from us through sin. Now, Lord, I pray that you help every last one of us to walk in victory, to walk in truth, to walk upright before you. Lord, I thank you that you are moving in people's lives. You are healing, you are restoring. Father, you are helping them to overcome those obstacles that are in their way because of what Jesus did. In that precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. You may be seated and super kids are dismissed. Thank you. If you hang around me long enough, you'll know that I want to use my words carefully here. That I do like to be funny. That I do twist things for laughter's sake. Okay, you can ask my wife. She didn't know that one person could pervert so many songs. And when I say pervert, I mean twist, okay? And I said, oh, yeah, if I could have just sang, I'd have been the next Weird Al. You know, he had nothing on me. And through the course of the years, you know, for me, I've always found it funny. I don't know why, but this saying, I just always found funny. And most of you have seen the show Touched by an Angel. It's probably one of your favorite shows, right? Well, me, I always had to be a little bit funny. And I would say, yep, I'm touched by an angel. Now, if you understand the difference between touched and touched, you understand my humor in that. And as I saw that, you know, I was watching TV and I saw that was playing at some point, and I said, yep, touched by an angel, touched. And I kept going on and on and on, and then God's like, are you going to get it? I kept saying it and kept saying it and kept saying it. And then he's like, how about looking? So open your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 32. Because you see, there was somebody who was actually touched by an angel. Jacob. There's some things you need to understand about Jacob. We're still talking about prayer, by the way. This whole incident has always been kind of a mystery to people. It's been a mystery to me for a long time. I didn't understand it. And I can tell you right now, I have a really good grasp on what was actually taking place at this juncture. So let's open with prayer before we get rolling. Father, we thank you and praise you for the word we're about to receive today. I ask, Lord, that you open our hearts, open our eyes to receive it, to hear what you're saying. Lord, I pray now that you use me, speak through me, Holy Spirit. Let this seed come to pass in bountiful harvest in the life of every believer, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Genesis chapter 32, I'm sorry. And did I start? Not yet. Verse 9. It said, then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, something we need to look at right there. God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me. He missed something, or so we would think, wouldn't we? This was something I totally missed. He didn't identify him as his God. The Lord. He identified him as a God. He identified him as his father's God, the God of his father's father. But he did not know him. He knew of him, he didn't know him. So there's a big difference, okay? A lot of people in this community know of me, they don't know me. Oh, yeah, I've heard of you. You know, we see your ad in the paper every couple weeks. But they don't know me. Return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. He split his family up. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. God did indeed make this promise to him. I want to show you something. Go back to Genesis 28. I want to read verse 13. Just turn back a couple pages. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, this is where we have Jacob's ladder, okay, the vision. And he stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. God is identifying himself to Jacob. Okay? He says who he is, but again, does not say that I am your God. Here's how we kind of know this. Verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Just always assumed it because he was raised in a Christian home that he was a Christian. Truth of the matter is, he wasn't. He didn't know God. He knew of God. There's a big difference. When I turned my life back over to God, that was my thing. I said, God, I don't want to know you through the preacher. I don't want to know you through my parents or through my wife. I want to know you personally. And if that can't happen, then forget this. Sounds audacious, doesn't it? That's awful prideful. That's where you have to get to. Okay? Except Jacob kind of planned on it. He planned on doing his own thing for a while. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But he said that when I return, if God, this God that's talking to me in his dream, if he does return me and does what he says, then he'll be my God. How often do we make that same vow to God? If you'll do this, I'll serve you. Jacob is now about to go meet, technically, his big brother. He was born hair a split second before him. As a matter of fact, he was holding on to Esau's heel. Except there was a big difference between Jacob and between Esau. Jacob was obviously a hairless man. Not very hairy. Bathed. Esau, on the other hand, was very hairy. And judging by the fact that Isaac identified him by smell, didn't bathe as often. And Esau was a fierce man. Esau was not just your average Joe. He was extremely brave. He was fierce. And he would attack anyone. As a matter of fact, the book of Jasher records that when he came back, and at the point which he sold his birthright to Jacob, he said, "I am near unto death." Has anybody ever wondered about that? He comes in, "I'm near unto death." Listen, this guy hunts all the time. Going on a hunting trip, one hunting trip, isn't going to make him near to death. However, if you understand what Genesis doesn't record about that hunting trip, was that he killed a man on that hunting trip. And that man just happened to be King Nimrod. That is why he was near unto death. He feared for his life. So that's how Jacob got the birthright. He took advantage of something. Esau thought it was done. Esau thought he was never going to live to see it anyhow, so it means nothing to me. However, they never caught Esau. And Esau grew and took wives and had children and conquered countries. And he became as prosperous as Jacob. Except he had one big difference between him and Jacob. Jacob was a deceiver. That's what his name means, surplanter. Deceiver. So, Jacob was a con man. That's what we'd call him today. Esau, on the other hand, was a mercenary. He didn't have a problem killing. Matter of fact, he thought several times about killing Jacob. And now, he's got to pass through the land where his brother's at to get back home. And his brother knows he's coming. So Jacob sends gifts ahead of him. Donkeys and camels, servants, you name it. He sends them forward, and then he splits his family into two parties. So that in the event Jacob doesn't receive that, kills all of his servants, then decides, "I'm going to go after Jacob." He's only going to kill one set of his family. Okay? So, this prayer that Jacob is praying really isn't prayed out of faith. Because one, he still doesn't know this God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. This prayer is prayed out of complete and utter fear. He doesn't know what to do. God has took care of him. But now, he's approaching this God and asking this God to remember a promise he made him. So then Jacob goes ahead and sends his family on across. Let's go ahead and go to the next. I believe it's 22. Genesis 32, 22. And it says, and when he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford at Jabbok, he took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone. Something's happening here, folks. We go from Jacob was left alone to, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. What is going on in Jacob's life? What is happening right now? Put yourself in his shoes. You're going to go meet one of the most fearsome men in that area. And you swindled him out of his birthright. You cheated him. He wants to kill you. He has said he will kill you. And now you've got to go meet him face to face. There's no two ways around it. So Jacob sends his family across and he's there alone. His mind is full of fear. His heart is just devastated. He doesn't know what to do. He feels alone. He has prayed to God. Beseech the God of his father, the God of his father's father. For help. Reminding him of a promise. Doesn't hurt. I am the one. Remember what you said you'd do this for? By the way, my brother wants to kill me tomorrow. That suddenly we go from he's left alone to he is wrestling with a man all night long. Now, Pastor, what's this got to do with prayer? This is prayer right here, folks. He has set himself apart. He's basically, you know, fasting and prayer, it's actually, fasting is prayer. Okay? That's what he's doing. He has separated himself from everything. And now it is him and it is God, and he is getting to know God on a one-on-one basis. He's struggling. He's fighting. In his mind, he wants to believe this God, but his heart doesn't know. Sometimes we need that experience. Sometimes we need to know when there's something out there greater than us that we fear. We need that time alone to wrestle. To get to know God. To get to know this God of Abraham and of Isaac. And eventually of Jacob. See, he had to spend time away from everything, away from the distractions. His heart, he didn't say a word. We don't read where he's saying anything. They're just fighting. And the Bible says that the man couldn't just dominate him because there was something in Jacob so strong that Jacob would not let him win. I need you to understand something, folks. Jacob is not what we would call a spring chicken. He is over 70 years old, pushing 80. Oh, I think the Bible's all wrong. I don't. We're the ones that make age the big deal. Yeah, I know you slow down. I know things happen. But there's something that happens in a man's mind once they start telling him, ooh, you're of that age for your heart attack. Better watch out. So we start backing away from everything. You know, when she was pregnant with Justin, they said, oh, you're at that age where babies are born with Down syndrome. We better do the checks. I said, no. Why? Well, we just better do the check. Now, the doctor was Catholic, so abortion was not an option for him anyhow. I said, there's no point. If this baby is born with Down syndrome, I serve a God who heals. Two, I will love this baby no matter what. So it doesn't matter. We stood our ground. Well, we got a perfectly healthy baby boy. The easiest pregnancy that we'd had out of three. So Jacob is now wrestling and will not let go. And it says in verse 25, now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, in other words, God did not prevail against. This is actually, some translations put it, the angel of the Lord, that he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. This is Jesus. That he did not prevail against him. He touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He had to dislocate the man's hip to get him to back off. He was not letting go. He was like a pit bull on a T-bone. You ain't taking it from him. There was something he wanted, something he needed. And Jacob was now literally at the end of his rope. He had nowhere else to turn. And he said, let me go for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. He began realizing who he was wrestling with, but didn't know for sure. So he said to him, what is your name? How many of us know God knows our name? But he needed Jacob to speak his own name, because when he spoke his own name, he identified his weakness. My name is Deceiver, is what he said. See, we read Jacob. However, what Jacob actually heard was, my name is Deceiver. I'm the one who deceives. He realized his character flaws. He realized who he was. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob. That's what God does to us, folks. Your name. Now, and I know a lot of people, they try to change their names when they get saved. Well, you've got to have a Christian name. You've got to do that. Listen, if you've got a name that really does bother you, change it. But don't just change it to a Hebrew translation of your name. I hated my name for the longest time, until I started identifying with something other than the guy on one day at a time. Remember Art, the building maintenance guy? I started realizing somewhere along the line there were some other Arts and Arthurs. There was the Fonz. I could identify with that one. There was King Arthur. I started relating myself, instead of with Arthur the Aardvark on PBS, with what my name meant. See, Jacob, his name meant deceiver. Every time somebody called his name, it was just like saying, hey, con man, come here. Most of us know about the prayer of Jabez, right? Jabez had a prayer because his mother named him such an awful name. You're a pain in the butt. We'll just put it that way. You caused me such great distress. So every time Jabez heard his name, that's what he heard. So every time Jacob heard his name, he heard deceiver, liar, thief. And God said, your name is no longer Jacob. But I give you a new name. Your name is Israel. Israel means he who contends with man and God. And it should say, and wins. Because if Jesus had not touched his hip, Jacob was not letting go. God had to physically disable the man. By the way, this was permanent. He limped the rest of his life. It served as a reminder that he was no longer, that what happened that night was real. And even so much so that the Jews would not eat the meat from that hip as a remembrance of what God did for Jacob. God turned him around, took him from being the deceiver to now one who will stand and win. It said he blessed him. And then Jacob, after his name has been changed, Jacob says, now what is your name? And he says, why are you asking? In other words, why do you need to ask? Bible says he called the place Peniel. He says, for I have seen God and lived. He had a revelation, folks. From this point on, God was his God. The things Jacob was praying for, the alone time, the time that he needed to find who he was. He knew his character before God. By the way, if you don't let God change your character, you aren't different. If you were full of hate before, and if you haven't released that, you are still the same old person. When God comes into your life, he changes your life. And in Jacob's case, he changed it radically. Jacob was no longer known as Jacob, but Israel. Which is, I find funny that we say Israel, she. We refer to the country as a she. Same thing with America. But yet, Israel was a man. He changed everything about Jacob from that point on. When Jacob heard his name, he didn't hear, hey, thief, liar, cheat. He heard, man who dares to stand up to God. He wasn't letting go, folks. How often do we let go too soon? We're in our time of contention. We're in that time where we're just about to break through. And we quit. Up, ball game's on, gotta go. Oh, got practice. Oh, got this. I'm talking about these real moments, not just you were sitting in your lazy boy having a dream, or sitting in your lazy boy watching TV, and I'm contending right now. My prior commitments can wait. Paul told the Philippian church, he said, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is what working out your salvation looks like. By the way, that's not a real good translated word. Salvation is a gift from God. You can't buy it. The better word here would be work out your relationship with God with fear and trembling. Stop and think about it for a moment, folks. He's been wrestling all night and the sun's about to come up. You could take even the most conditioned wrestler. 15 minutes, he's exhausted. He has spent everything he's got. Jacob wrestled all night with the Son of God and was not giving any ground. He was at the end of his proverbial rope. This was it for him. He had no other options but to get to know this God greater. And that's where we have to get. For me, it came down to that point. I had just spent the last, I don't know how many days, drunk. And I said, God, I don't want this. My wife doesn't deserve this. And I had not come. I had grown where I didn't fear death. But I feared something greater. I feared a separation from God eternally. That had been ingrained in me enough to understand. I don't want to be separated eternally from God. And if I'm going to die, I'm going down in gun battle. I'm not going to die in my vomit like a common alcoholic or drug addict. And that's where Jacob finally got to. If I'm going to go down, I'm going to know this God who says that He will protect me, that He will bless me. Because if you go on and you read the rest of the story about when Jacob and Esau meet, Esau comes running to him. Very type and shadow of the prodigal son and the father. He ran to his brother who cheated him, who lied to him, and stole from him. He ran to him, hugged him, kissed him, and then looked around and said, take all this back. I've got more than enough. God had appeased him. From this point on, God was now Jacob's God, or Israel's God. The next time you see God speaking to Jacob or Israel, He says, I am God. That's how He identified Himself to Abraham. I am God. First things out of the words He spoke to him, I am. That's how He identified Himself to Abraham. He didn't say, I am God, the God of Abraham. But see, all before, I am the God of your father. Now it is, I am God. In other words, I am everything for you. I am everything you will ever need, everything you will ever want. That's who I am. You will never lack if you serve me wholeheartedly. Today we have a hard time doing that. We have tried to take Christianity and put it in to the terms of Israel possessing the land of Canaan. If they don't believe like us, we kill them. That's not what God said. He said the old covenant's done. There's things in the Old Testament we should never bring into our lives. It's there as a reminder of what God has done. I don't know about you, but we've been able to trace our family roots. Mine were Druids. Do you know how hip, hip, hooray I was? Yay! Great, they worshipped sticks. They weren't even smart enough to make rock, although they were smart enough to put those big rocks, stand them up somehow. But as we remember that we serve God who loves all, we will keep in mind God didn't call us to become an army to kill people. Unfortunately, the Crusades, while they're definitely a part of history, are also one of the biggest black eyes for the church. Do we really think God needed us to protect Jerusalem? What came out of it? Anybody know? Nothing good. The gospel of Jesus Christ wasn't getting spread. That was our job, was to tell the world about Jesus, to tell the world that He loves them and that He died for them so that they did not have to keep killing each other. So we came up with greater ways to kill them. I know you're sitting here thinking, Pastor, what are you talking about, man? You're pro-military. Yes, I am. Military's for defense. And we only advance when we've been attacked. That's a peace-loving country. Any other country, any other belief that says we have to kill you because you don't agree with us is wrong. We have never won a war because of that. Think I'm kidding? Why were we in Korea? Why were we in Vietnam? And how did they end? It was just we were going to stop the communism from spreading below the, was it 38th parallel? That was why we were there. To stop. The people themselves didn't want it. That's why the war on terror, until those people want freedom, until those people are willing to stand up for it themselves, look at Iraq. Is it really any much better now? Yeah, we struck revenge against somebody who had wronged us. But God made Israel's enemy become peaceful with him because he said, I'll do it your way. I want to know you. How much greater could this country be if this country would say, we want to know God? We want to know God greater. And we would actually spend time talking with God instead of pretending that the only place we can talk to God is in a church. It amazes me the number of people that think they can't come through those doors because they're not good enough yet. If that's the case, then I'll be the first one out the doors because I don't qualify myself. But through Jesus Christ, through what he has done for me, I do. And that's, I've only been able to take a stand because of a relationship that I've got to know God. And guess what? It takes time. You got to spend time. The only downfall to Angela and I's courtship was we weren't together. We wrote a lot. We wrote several letters a week. Boy, email would have been an awesome thing to have had back then. These guys complain in the middle of the road, what, don't you, all you send me is email. At least you got it within two seconds. I had to wait 2 weeks for the turnaround. Ask him a question, and then if I got deployed, they'd have to go, and find me. So when we actually started abiding together, we really had to learn to know each other. She's like, I didn't know this about you. I'm like, oh, baby, you got a whole lot more to know. Yes, it is. It went both ways. But you see, as we get to know God, he gets to know us. See, when we get in the presence of God, we want to hide who we are. We aren't hiding anything. Jacob's heart was full of fear. He was literally scared to death of his big brother. So when he was with God, that's why he was fighting. He didn't want to die. Instead of us in our time with God being real with him, we pray the Lord's Prayer. You know, it was a sample prayer, right? It was an example of how to pray. But for so many people, it's the only prayer they know. the only prayer they can pray because they think that's what God wants. We don't have a written account of the dialogue that took place during this wrestling match. It would be awesome to know. I'm sure there was more words spoken than this. Because if you're contending with somebody, I mean, come on, seriously. Our movies, you got two people fighting, they're conversing back and forth. And especially if they had some sort of relationship before. Jacob knows a little bit about this God. And this God knows Jacob. But he needs to get Jacob to know Jacob. See, he spends so much time trying to get us to recognize who we are so that he can change us. I will agree with AA on this. Until you admit you've got a problem, there's no hope. There's no help. You got to admit, I'm a thief. I'm a cheat. I'm a liar. When you finally hit that, that's why the Bible says confess your sins. That's exactly what God got him to do. He wore that boy out and got him to admit who he was deep down. And when he admitted it, God said, now. See, that's a great thing about God. He knows how to restore. It's another thing the church has missed over the years. Somebody falls, we cut their head off. How about restoration, as the Bible says, to restore a brother or sister who has fallen? Which means to pick them up and make them better than new. And that's exactly what God did. He picked him up and he said, now you're no longer a deceiver. You're no longer a cheat and a thief. You are one who contends with man and God and wins. A loose translation of that might be a prince of God. What God does for us. The Apostle Paul said, now we are kings and priests. We have no right. Absolutely none. But yet God has made us kings and priests unto himself. And that only happens with a relationship. That only happens with you struggling with God. With you working out your relationship with God through your own fear and trembling. So today, I challenge you. When you're spending time with God, open up. He already knows it's there. He knows your hurts. He knows what's holding you back. But until you admit it, until you admit, God, I'm falling short, until you're ready to work on it, he's not going to do anything. Just like your mechanic can't fix your car until you bring it to him. He can hear it needs work. You're going down the road, driving by a shop, and he's like, if you just show up, I can fix that problem. Because eventually, you're asking for a breakdown. This was probably Jacob's last ditch effort, last moment that he could do this. Because once he crossed that river, if God had not intervened, he and his family were going to get killed. Do you seriously think Jacob didn't know that he had already split the family? Or that Esau knew that Jacob split the family? He knew they were there. He had servants. When you're that wealthy, when you're that influential, you've got people who, with eyeballs sitting around watching to send information back. No army does not have spies. They want to know what's going on around them and who's coming at them. God will make your enemies at peace. But he needs to get you to know that he will do it. And once you get to know him, folks, I'm going to tell you, Jacob just got the tip of the iceberg with God there. Just got a little bit of it. It took the rest of his life to get to know God. It's always constantly learning. You're always learning more about God. just as we're learning how great he really is through the little bit of technology we got, to how vast our universe is. We used to think we were, what, 9 planets and, you know, billions of stars. Now we've discovered, I mean, for crying out, we've got vehicles on Mars. That was just a pipe dream. That was a pipe dream even when I was in school. And now we've done it. And they're still talking about sending a man to it, which just totally baffles my brain. Of course, then I got to keep in mind that when you're in space, you're traveling, what, 18,000 miles per second? That is awesome. And yet our God created all of this. He says, "This you ain't seen nothing yet. Trust me with your life. Trust me." Let's stand. I want you to know how much God loves you today. That when he sent Jesus to die, you were not a guarantee. There were no guarantees of anybody believing him. He said he did it so that the world might believe. He loved you that much that he was willing to take a chance and say, "I'll gamble on it. I will sow one son so that I may have a harvest of many sons and daughters." And if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead and you've confessed that with your mouth, the Bible says you are saved. That part of your salvation is done. Now spend the rest of the time getting to know him. Because that's how much he does love you. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. So if he's going to take you into the land of Edom where your hateful brother is living, who wants to kill you, he'll go before you and put him at peace with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Father, for this example of Jacob and his struggle with you, struggling to know you. Lord, I thank you that that opportunity is here for all of us. And that, Lord, that when we press in, that you come closer. Your word even says that in James. That if we will draw near to you, that you will come closer to us. So Lord, open our eyes to see that we need to get closer, that we need to press in closer, that we need to know you greater than we've ever known you, that we may know your heart. And by knowing what your heart is, we will know what your will is. So Lord, I pray for each and every believer in here today. Lord, as they go out, as they move amongst your people, amongst the people of the world, that, Father, people will start seeing a difference in them. That they will start sensing your love surrounding them. And that they will be attracted to that, just as a moth is to the light. Now, Father, bless these people. Father, you know their struggles. You know their fears, and you know exactly what it's going to take to get them over it. So give them the courage to address it and to finally attack. I ask, Father, you bless their places of employment. Father, people that are in those places that are at odds with them, Lord God, bring peace to them. Cause there to be peace where a spirit of division and war is trying to rise up. In Jesus' name.